And this is the last lesson in our series. Next week, we got a lesson on hospitality and how all of us can use that to witness for Christ. But this is the last lesson, and we've looked at four or five different things under the theme of Awake, the Call to a Renewed Life. And again, as we've mentioned every week, the church in America needs revival. And for the church to have revival, its members need to be revived. And again, we may not think that we as an individual need to be revived, need to be renewed. And that's what these lessons have tried to help us to do, to look at our life. Ask the question, how's my walk with God? How's my relationship with Him? Is it as fresh as it was? Is it growing? And if not, then we do need revival as an individual. And so again, we've talked about five different things so far. First week, we talked about returning to God. We were in the book of Jonah, and we mentioned that God does want our relationship with Him to be alive, to be growing. He wants us to be more obedient. He wants us to grow closer to Him. And if not, He calls us, just like He called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He calls us to have that growing, living relationship. And He persistently calls, and His call, just like His call to Jonah demanded a response, His call to us demands a response. The second week we were in the book of Revelation, Return to Your First Love. And the lesson that week was that everything we do needs to be motivated by our love for God. It's just not enough to do good. We need to do good for the right reason. And the lesson was, if we've lost our first love, we need to get it back. And so we need to remember what it was like when we first got saved and we served God out of a heart of love. And then we need to repent and then go back to our first love. The third week, we were in the book of Nehemiah. Third and fourth week, we were in the book of Nehemiah. The third week, it was return to prayer. And we make progress by going to prayer. And we talked about the prayer that Nehemiah prayed before he went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And we talked about how prayer starts with accurate information, and how Nehemiah got information about what was going on in Jerusalem that helped him pray. We talked about prayer including confession, and how as Nehemiah prayed, he confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of the people. And then prayer ends with commitment. And again, Nehemiah asked God to be the God of the people, and he committed himself and the people of Israel to be the people of God, to be obedient to God. Fourth week, again in the book of Nehemiah, return to God's Word. And we talked about how God's Word is the fuel that keeps us fresh, that keeps us our relationship with God alive, because it's the Word of God that reminds us what God has done for us. And so we were in that lesson instructed to read the Word of God, to respond to the Word of God, and to study the Word of God. And then last week, and we moved to the book of Acts, returned to unity. And we talked about unity in prayer, and unity in practice, and unity in sacrifice. This week, as I've already mentioned, we're back in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13. Return to the task. Return to the task. Author made the point. So many times in a Christian life, and Adam made the point in open assembly, so many times in our Christian life, we get busy. How many of you would describe your life the last week as busy? Just raise your hand. Were you busy this past week? Anybody busy? All right, several of you were busy. And sometimes we get so busy that we lose. And by the way, sometimes we get busy doing good things. I mean, they're good things. But sometimes we get so busy that we lose our focus. We lose our focus as to what's the most important thing. And the lesson reminds us this morning that the most important thing is to tell people about Christ, to carry out the Great Commission. You remember, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus did a lot of other things while he was here on this earth. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He was a tremendous teacher. But and all those things were good things. But he never lost focus for why he came. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I came looking for people to tell them I was going to die for them. And then he set his face like a flint, went to Jerusalem, died on the cross, and fulfilled the purpose for which God sent him to earth. And so we as Christians, whether we get busy or whether we go into the set it and forget it mode that Adam was talked about, sometimes we forget what our primary purpose is. And the point of the lesson this morning is to help us look at our life and remind us that a person whose relationship with God is alive and growing is going to be a witness for Christ. And a church that is revived is going to be a church that spreads the gospel. And we're going to look at a church this morning, the church at Antioch in Syria, that was a church that's a good example for what every church should be as far as spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you remember, at Pentecost, Peter preached, 3,000 people saved and baptized one day. He and John were going to the temple. We talked about it last week. He healed a person, and a crowd again gathered. 5,000 people saved and baptized in one day. And the gospel began to spread. As people left, got saved in Jerusalem, and they went back to their homes, and they went back to different parts of the world, the gospel began to spread. And one of the places that it spread was a city named Antioch, of Syria. When the apostles and disciples in Jerusalem heard about all the people that were being saved in Antioch, they sent somebody up there to help the church. And that person that they sent up there was a person that we've talked about recently in our Sunday school lessons. That person was Barnabas. And again, Barnabas was, we talked about him a little bit last week. He was a guy that when there was a need in the lives of people in the Jerusalem church, had some property and sold it, brought the money, gave it to the apostles, and the apostles gave it to every man as they had need. He was known as the son of consolation. He was an encourager. And so when the apostles heard that a lot of people were being saved at Antioch, they sent Barnabas up there to help them, and he was an encouragement to that church. After he was there for a while, he said, I'm going to need some help. And so he went and found Saul. Remember, Barnabas was the one that when Saul got saved and he tried to join the disciples, tried to join the apostles, they didn't believe him. They said, oh, this is a guy that persecuted Christians. He's just faking this so that he can infiltrate our group. And they didn't want anything to do with him. And it was Barnabas who brought Saul to the apostles and said, oh, no, this guy, it's a genuine conversion. He was really saved. He's had a change of heart. He's a follower of Christ, and brought him into the group of disciples. And so when Barnabas went to Antioch and saw what was going on, and after he was there for a while, he went and found Saul, and they came back and co-pastored the church at Antioch for a while. Now, I'll just tell you that Antioch had a lot of commercial enterprises, and those businesses traded internationally. And so there were a lot of people from different nations, different countries in the city of Antioch, and several of those people heard the gospel, got saved, and became not only members, but leaders of the church. And because of that, the church probably had more of a world view than the church even at Jerusalem. Again, because it was comprised of people that came from a lot of different places. And they understood, probably better even than the church at Jerusalem, that the gospel just wasn't for the Jews. The gospel was for everybody. It was for all nations. And so in Acts chapter 13, where we are this morning, we're going to read a little bit about that church and about the diversity that was in it. And we're going to read how they responded when the Holy Spirit came and told them what to do, how they responded to that the instruction they got from the Holy Spirit as far as sending out Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, the lesson has three parts this morning. Number one, a church that's on task sends out the called to share the gospel. Number two, some who hear the gospel will reject it. And number three, some who hear the gospel will joyfully embrace it and receive Christ. So we start chapter 13 of Acts, verses 1 through 3. A church on task sends out the called to share the gospel. Let's read those first three verses together. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, here's this church at Antioch. In that first verse, it tells us that they had a team of prophets and teachers. Now, again, a prophet is somebody who is inspired by God, gets a message from God, and then delivers that message to other people. Okay? So they had people that were in that church that were listening to God, and when they got a message from God, they shared it. And then there were teachers. Teachers were people that had the gift that could take the word of God and explain it and help other people understand it. Teachers taught evangelistic lessons. In other words, they taught the gospel. And as they taught what Jesus did on Calvary, I'm sure they had people that were saved as they explained more fully the sacrificial death on Calvary that Jesus died. But they also taught lessons that had to do with how to live based on this book. This book is our owner's manual. This book tells us how God wants us to live. And a good Bible teacher can take the Word of God and make it applicable to a person's life and show them from the Word of God the principles by which God wants His children, wants His followers to live. So there was prophets and teacher. And we don't know much about them. I mean, we know about Barnabas, the first one that's mentioned. Again, he was the one that sold property, brought the money to help the poor. He was the one that brought Saul into the disciples. He was the one that was sent by the disciples to this church in Antioch to be an encouragement. So we know some things about him. He was from Cyprus, which is going to be important in just a minute. But there's three of them that we only know their names. And we can discern a little bit about them from the descriptions that are given. So we have Simeon, who was nicknamed Niger. Now, that word Niger means black. And so it probably suggests that this was a man of dark colored skin that probably came from Africa, that had come up to this part of Asia Minor and was saved and joined this church and became a leader in this church. Then there was Lucius of Cyrene. Now, Cyrene was a place located on the north coast of Africa. And so again, this was another man that probably had dark skin that was saved and was a leader of the church. And then there was a man by the name of Mania, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Now, Herod the Tetrarch was the Jewish king that reigned during Jesus' ministry. He was the one that beheaded John the Baptist. He was the one that Pilate sent Jesus to when he was on trial. And remember, Herod wanted a miracle, wanted to see a miracle from Jesus, and Jesus didn't show him a miracle. And so Herod, instead of helping Jesus, sent him back to Pilate to be crucified. Most Bible scholars think that this Mania was a foster brother of this Herod, was brought up in the same home of Herod the Great, and turned out different than his foster brother because both of them were exposed to the teachings of Christ. Herod rejected it, and did his best to stamp out the church and to and had no respect for what he heard about Christ. But his foster brother heard about Jesus, got saved, and moved to Antioch and became a leader in this church. This just goes to show you how two children in the same family can be exposed to the same thing and their lives take different paths. They end up in different places. So the church at Antioch, and so the last one mentioned is Paul, or Saul. Again, we know a little bit about him. In fact, we know a lot about him. He was from Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. He lived a strict Jewish life. When the Christian movement started, he thought it was an attack on Judaism. And so he devoted his life to stamping it out. He persecuted the Christians. He arrested them. He stood by as Stephen was stoned. He was on the road to Damascus with letters in his pocket to arrest Christians to bring him back to Jerusalem when he met the Lord with that bright light that shone from heaven. And so this was a group of men that led this church at Antioch. They were gifted men. They were strong leaders. They were influential in the church. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord. That word minister means to do service. Sometimes it talks about the service that the priest did in the temple to serve God, but it's also used to talk about any service that people do for God. And the word they, it could mean those five guys that we just talked about, or it could mean the whole church. Okay, so Bible doesn't really say. Bible scholars differ as to what the word they. But I want you to notice something. As they ministered or serve the Lord. You know, there's a lot of Christians that say, well, when God calls me to a special task, then I'll start serving him. And I'll remind you this morning, that's not the kind of servants that God is looking for. God calls people to special service from a group of people that are already serving him. So as they served the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord in the local church at Antioch, as they shared the gospel in that city, as they helped the poor in that city, as they showed Christian love to others in that city, the Holy Spirit came to them with a special call for two of those men. And I want you to notice what they were doing when that call came. The Bible says they fasted. Now again, what that means is they abstained from eating. They were giving up food. And probably they were doing it to get direction from the Lord. Probably they had asked the Lord what they should do next because the church was growing. They had reached their city. They probably felt a need, again, because they had an international base of people that made up this church. How do we get the gospel to other parts of the world? And so they begin to ask God, and they fasted to show him how serious they were about getting an answer from him. And as they prayed and as they fasted, the Holy Spirit said to them, and again, I don't know if the Holy Spirit spoke in an audible voice, or if the Holy Spirit put a strong inclination on the heart of the leaders, the five men that are mentioned there, but the Holy Spirit got a message. Again, I don't know if the they was to the five leaders or that the they was to the whole church, but everybody knew that this message that came was a message from God. It wasn't a man-made message. It wasn't a man-originated message. It was a message from God that said this, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now that word separate means to appoint, to set apart for a specific purpose. And so the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take Barnabas and Saul. That's who was called out. That who was appointed. So I have, and the Holy Spirit said, I have a work for them to do. I have something that they need to work at. The Holy Spirit wasn't calling them to be something. The Holy Spirit was calling them to do something. It required effort. And again, I don't know that the Holy Spirit told them at this point what he wanted them to do, but he said, I want you to set them apart. I've got a special task, a work that I want them to do, and I have called them to do it. When God calls, he also prepares. And so he had prepared Barnabas and Saul for the work that he was calling them to do. He had prepared them by what they had learned from the disciples. He had prepared them by their service in the church at Antioch. He had prepared them in all the things in their life up until this point. And again, when God calls, he prepares. When God calls, he never calls without giving us what we need to answer the call and do the work. And I know some people have said, I feel that God's calling me, but I don't feel that I can do what God's calling me to do. And I always remind them, well, God never calls anybody without giving them the ability to do it. And if he's called you to do it, you may not know it, but you have the ability to do it. So get busy. Get busy. And so the Holy Spirit came, and he said, I want you to set apart Saul and Barnabas. I've got a work for them to do. I've called them to do it. And so in verse 3, we find an obedient church. The church says, set them apart. And again, I think the church just didn't see this call to Paul and Barnabas. I think they saw it as an answer to their prayer, an answer to their fasting as to how they get the gospel out. And when they sent these men out, they sent them out under the auspices and the authority of the church with the support of the church, with their prayers, with their financial support. They were in it with them because even though Paul or Saul and Barnabas were called to leave, and we'll read about it when we get to the next verses. They were to travel the world and share the gospel. They did so out of this church, and Saul, this church at Antioch, was not only base for his first missionary journey; it was the base for his second missionary journey. It was the base for his third missionary journey. And so for the rest of his ministry, as he was traveling as a missionary, this church was Paul's home church and supported him. And so I want you to notice what they did when they sent him away. They fasted again, and they prayed. Now, when they prayed, I think they were thankful. Said, Holy Spirit, thank you for answering our earlier prayer. Thank you for giving us this message. Thank you for giving us this instruction. Thank you for giving us the privilege to send out these two men to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think they prayed for the safety of Paul and Barnabas, and they prayed for their effectiveness. Wherever they go, help them to be bold in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help people to hear. Help people to listen. Help people to respond. And then they fasted again. They fasted to show that they were going to be faithful to in their prayers and in their support of these two men, and then they laid their hands on them. They commissioned them. It wasn't an ordination service, the church commissioned them. They laid their hands on them and sent them away. They released Paul and Barnabas from the duties that they had at Antioch. Now again, these were two co-pastors of this church. And in response to the call of God, the church said, okay, we'll find somebody else to fill in for you or to do what you're doing here, because we know that the Holy Spirit, God has called you to go to different places and share the gospel as you have here. You know, a lot of, I've known churches that have felt the call to start other churches, and they've refused because they didn't want to let any of their members go to start a new church. And the church dried up and shriveled up and died because they weren't obedient. They thought they needed to keep all the members for themselves, and they never sent anybody out, and God removed his hand of blessing from them. So when God calls, the church needs to be obedient. Okay, now we're going to skip down to verse 44. Read verse 44 through 47. This is the part of the lesson that reminds us that some people, when they hear the gospel, are going to reject it. So look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation until the ends of the earth. So when Paul and Barnabas first left Antioch, the first place they went was to the island of Cyprus. That was Barnabas' hometown, or home, not his hometown. I'm sure they went to his hometown, but that's where he was from. So when they went, when they left Antioch, the first stop on their missionary journey was Cyprus. Then from there, they went to Asia Minor. They went up to a region of Pamphylia, to the country of Pisidia, to another city, and this city was also called Antioch. Not the city that they came out of, that was in Syria. This Antioch was in this region called Pisidia. And when they got to Antioch, and again, this is the second Antioch. From now on, when I talk about Antioch, I'm not talking about the first Antioch. I'm talking about the second Antioch. When he got to Antioch, Paul went on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship. And as was the custom in the synagogue, whenever there was a visiting teacher that came, the leaders of the synagogue issued an invitation to that teacher to teach. You remember, Jesus, on occasion, when he went into the synagogue, was invited by the synagogue leaders to speak. They were sorry after they asked him, and they got mad at him when he did speak, but early in his ministry, they asked Jesus to speak. Well, when Paul went in, they asked him to speak, and he spoke. He preached the gospel. I mean, the gospel came out of the Jewish nation. It was delivered to the Jews first, and so it was only natural for Paul to go to the synagogue. That's where people were gathered together. There wasn't a church at this Antioch yet, and so he went to where people were gathered together, and he preached the gospel. And he preached the message of God. And so it was very well received, because verse 44, where we read a moment ago, the next Sabbath day, after he had preached the previous Sabbath day, almost the whole city came to hear him. I mean, not all the city, but almost the whole city came to hear what he would say this second time. Now, in verse 45, not everybody was pleased. The leaders of the synagogue, the Jews, the Bible says, was filled with envy. I mean, They had a crowd that Sabbath day like they never had before. I mean, the place was packed. They were running out the doors. They were standing in the aisles. They were standing around the windows. And they had come back to hear this man called Saul. And when they saw this happen, they got a little jealous. And they said, we're going to lose our influence. We're going to lose the power that we have. And by the way, that was one of the main reasons the Jews had it out with Jesus. They thought they were losing their power. They thought they were losing their influence. And so the Bible says that these Jews in Antioch spake against, it says there in verse 45, they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They spoke against the gospel. They spoke against the message that Paul or Saul was delivering from God. Notice what how that verse ends: contradicting and blaspheming. In other words, they said they contradicted the message. They said this message is not true. This message is not complete. This is not the whole message of God. The Jews wanted to add a lot of things to the gospel. They didn't want to give up the things that they had received from their forefathers, like circumcision and sacrifice and all those things. And then not only did they contradict it, they blasphemed. They did so in a way to tear Paul down, to revile him, to insult him. So when that happened, Paul and Silas had a decision to make. I mean, so here it was, second place they were. And again, we're not told much about what happened on Cyprus. They probably got a good reception at Cyprus. But here's a group of people that got mad at them. Here's a group of people that were jealous and contradicted their message, insulted them, and they had a choice to make. Do we stop? I mean, it's only second place we are, and we're running into this opposition. Do we stop preaching? Do we change our message to make it more acceptable to the people that we've offended? Or do we go on and go somewhere else and stick with the call and the message that God gave us? Well, we know what they did. They didn't stop. They didn't compromise their message. Paul wasn't much of a compromiser. If you read, you know, if you know his story, he was not much of a compromiser at all. I can only find one instance in his whole life where he compromised, when he went with those people that were taking a vow and went in, shaved his head, and you know, went and told the vow. He sort of compromised there, in a sense. But most every time else, I don't read him compromising at all. And so they decided to find another place to preach, and be obedient to the call of God. And so in verse 46, it says they waxed bold. In other words, they didn't back down. They didn't compromise. They said it was necessary. It was the thing that we should have done, because you're Jews. And the gospel came to the Jews. It was necessary that the word of God should be first be spoken to you. But seeing that you have put it from you, seeing that you have rejected it, seeing that you've refused it, seeing that you have disagreed with it, and you have judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. In other words, you have decided to count yourself undeserving of the kind of life that God is offering you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've counted yourself unworthy of that. You've rejected it. He said, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. We're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And then Paul says in verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us. When they were sent out, they were sent out as missionaries to the Gentiles. They were sent out as men to carry the gospel to the Gentiles, those that were not Jewish born. And by the way, God's message to the Gentiles was not a new message. It was God's intent all along that the Gentiles be included. In verse 47 there, Paul quotes Isaiah 49:6. The Lord has, his plan has always been that the light of the gospel go to the Gentiles. His plan has always been that his people, the Jews, would carry the light of salvation to the ends of the earth. That's what it says in that verse from Isaiah. And so Paul says, we ought to have brought it to you first, because you're God's people and the gospel was delivered to you first. But since you've rejected it, we're going to go to the people that God called us to go to. Doesn't mean that Paul quit preaching to Jews. He always preached to Jews when he went into new places. But his focus was to go to the Gentiles. All right, look at verse 48. So there in those verses, we saw a group of people that rejected the gospel. Now in this next group of verses, we're going to see a group of people that embraced the gospel. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So when Paul says, hey, we should have preached to you first. We have. You've rejected it. Now we're going to the Gentiles. The Bible says the Gentiles were glad. They were cheerful. They were joyful. They rejoiced exceedingly. And the Bible says they glorified the word of the Lord. They praised it. They honored it. They magnified it. Now, look at the next phrase. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Here's one of the verses in the Bible that conveys one of the things that's hard to understand in the Bible. Salvation includes both the election of a sovereign God and the acceptance of humankind. It includes both. It includes the divine appointment of God to salvation, and it includes the exercise of faith on the part of an individual. Now, again, I'm not talking about predestination in the way that most people understand predestination. I'm not talking about where God has decided, well, this group of people is going to heaven and this group of people is going to hell. What I'm talking about is that God has elected or chosen everybody to go to heaven. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And unless God chose us, unless God elected us, unless God wooed us via the Holy Spirit to the Savior, none of us would have come. And so our salvation requires that. But our salvation also encompasses our faith. Faith, by the way, dealt to every man by God. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, the Bible tells us. But our salvation depends on us exercising the faith that God has given us to trust Christ, to believe in Him. And that word believe there is persuaded about something to the point that you're willing to put your complete confidence and trust in. And so, as many as were chosen by God, elected by God, and again, everybody was chosen, everybody was elected, to eternal life. God wants everybody to have eternal life. He's not willing that any should perish and suffer eternal death. And by the way, that eternal life is both quantity and quality. It's quantity in that it lasts forever. It's quality because Jesus said, I've just not come to give them life eternal, but abundant life, abundant life. If you read the little deal I put in the bulletin this morning about the guy that was on the cruise ship, bought his ticket. Every day he ate cheese and crackers for lunch. One of the officers of the ship, the last day of the cruise, he came and saw him on a deck eating cheese and crackers and said, Mister, why don't you go to the dining room and eat with the other passengers? They have a, you know, if you've ever been on a cruise, you know on a cruise all they do is feed you. You could go to the dining room and eat anything you want. Why don't you go to the dining room and eat with the other passengers? And the guy said, I can't afford to do that. And the officer looked at him and said, man, when you bought your ticket, you paid for all the meals. You're out here eating cheese and crackers and all your meals, the steak and the lobster and everything and all the fancy desserts that you could have enjoyed on the cruise, they were already paid for. And you've been eating cheese and crackers. And the point of that little story is there's a lot of Christians like that. They're satisfied just to get their name on the roll of heaven, and that's important to go to heaven. But God has so much more for us. He wants us to have that abundant life that comes from being one of His children, from being a member of His family. And it's paid for. That life was paid for. At the same time, He purchased our salvation. And we eat cheese and crackers and don't go into the dining room and enjoy the blessings that God has for us. And so as many as were ordained by God, selected by God to eternal life, believed, exercise the faith. They got that eternal life. In verse 49, it says the word of the Lord was published or spread throughout all the region. Now, Paul and Barnabas were going to go to other places before they went back to the first Antioch. But that's not what this verse is talking about. What this verse is talking about, as people heard Paul and Barnabas preach the gospel and believed and got saved, they went out and told somebody else. And they got saved and they went out and told somebody else. And they got saved and they went out and told somebody else. That's been God's plan ever since the beginning. One person telling another person who tells another person who tells another person. That's how the gospel gets spread. That's how the gospel was spread throughout the whole region. Is us doing what we're supposed to do. And by the way, the Great Commission is just not going and preaching the gospel and getting people saved. It's teaching them to do all things that God taught us to do. It's teaching them how to go out and tell somebody else how to get saved. So the gospel spread throughout the region. Now, verse 50, the Jews reared their ugly head again. They didn't want the gospel spread, so they stirred up or incited opposition in two groups. The devout and honorable women, the God-fearing Jews that were prominent not only in the synagogue but in the city. They stirred them up. They incited them and the chief men of the city, the leaders of the city. And when these two groups were stirred up, the Bible says that they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. In other words, they kicked them out. They ran them out of town. They ran them out of the country. And as Paul and Barnabas was leaving, verse 51 says, they shook their feet. They shook the dust from their feet against them. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do. If you go into a city and they refuse to hear the message, when you go out, shake the dust of that city off your feet. That's a sign of judgment on that city. A sign that since they've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, the judgment of God is going to fall on them. And they went to Iconium, another big city in that region. And it doesn't mean, sometimes people read this passage of scripture and said, well, there's a couple of cowards. A little persecution arose and they left town. But I don't believe that's true. I believe their work in Antioch was done. I believe they had established a base of Christians in Antioch and they were ready to move to the next city. And so they went to Iconium to preach the gospel there. And then it says, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I think Paul and Barnabas were filled with joy. I think people that were saved were filled with joy. I think Paul and Barnabas got a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. I know the people that were saved got a filling of the Holy Ghost. And that's where joy comes from. When we're filled with the presence of God and realize that He'll never leave us or forsake us, we have the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Not happiness that depends on circumstances, but joy that comes from God. So again, the point of this lesson, if we've lost our focus, we need to remember that our focus needs to be spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel with other people. We're out of time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these series of lessons. I pray we'll use them as you intended for us to use them, that they would help us look at our life. They would help us look at the relationship that we have with you. And if it's not a growing, thriving relationship, that we come back to you. We come back to our first love. We come back to prayer. We come back to the Word of God. We come back to unity. And we come back to the task of telling men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now into the service that follows. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ today, they'll see their sin, recognize there's a penalty for that sin, and come to Jesus as their Savior. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.